Thanks for joining us and welcome to the Stonebridge Church Podcast. Here at Stonebridge, our goal is to lead people into a real, healthy, and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to join us live, we hold services every Sunday at 9:30 and 11:05 a.m. at 1 Stonebridge Church Drive in the Woodlands, Texas. You can also stream our services online on Facebook, our website, our YouTube channel, and our church app. We invite you to check out our website at GoStonebridge.com and give us a like on Facebook at Facebook.com/GoStonebridge. This week, Pastor Steve continues our series, Dream Small. Now, here's Pastor Steve.
All right, good morning. Everybody having a good day today? Try that again. Everybody having a good day today? Okay, good. I want to make sure you're fired up. Hope it has been a good weekend so far. Hope all of your teams won, unless they played against my team. And okay. One of the things we've been talking about in this series is how it is the small things that really matter. It's why we did a series several years ago called Dream Big about raising kids. And then this year we're doing one a couple years later called Dream Small, because most of the time we sort of miss the fact that it's those small things, those little things that really make a huge difference in your life and in the life of your kids. Even Jesus would talk about often about faith the size of a mustard seed, right? I mean, tiny little seed. And he would talk about how, you know, holding onto that, believing that, that becoming a core of who you are produces these great things. But you can't miss the process. It really is about some small things that you're going to have to look at by faith and trust them by faith that if I hold to these things, understand these things, that they will produce something enormous and something very valuable in my life. And I want to finish up this week, this is the last one in this session, talking about how there's this peace that we're looking for inside. In fact, if you caught the title or looked at it, it was Seeking Inner Peace, playing on some words there, right? Because most of us are looking for an inner peace, but there's this point where we find a way into this peace, or this peace finds its way into us, and often it's missed by a lot of people also. They just don't find what they're looking for. And so many times, I think if you're reading the Bible, it will say that it's because you're looking in the wrong place. You're looking for the wrong thing. And we look for the wrong thing, we look in the wrong place because we kind of get carried away by the giant big things. We think, oh, if I just had that, if I just accomplished that, or if that person just liked me, or if I just got that job, that would do it. And Jesus often talks about the fact that it's really about something a lot smaller and a lot more on the inside of us where we find this this peace. Where can peace be found? I guess that's the question, right? Give you two stories kind of setting this up. We're going to look at John chapter 14. In the New Testament, but two stories setting this up, and they're both McDonald's stories. I haven't told any McDonald's stories in at least 2 weeks or something like that. So, yeah, I go there way too often. So I go to McDonald's, and, you know, one of the things about McDonald's is they have these drive-through lines. I mean, a lot of restaurants do. And then it splits, and you can, you know, order in two different places, and then it comes back together. Anybody been through a line like that? Yeah, it's interesting sometimes. I mean, I told a group yesterday that I wanted to write a book. All my theology has come from sitting in the McDonald's line, right? So, you know, because you learn so much about people and watching people and, of course, you know, about yourself. So two stories. One story, I'm sitting there and there's a guy in front or in the line next to me, and it's taking him a long time. In fact, as I finally pull up, I'm a couple behind in the other line. Now I'm ordering just like he is, and he's still there ordering. And as I listen to him, as I'm placing my order, I realize why it's taking so long. He's trying to have a conversation, you know, with the person on the other end of the box. I mean, he's looking for a relationship. He's looking for some sort of interaction, and the girl on the other side is being very nice and very patient with him. Of course, the people behind him are getting very aggravated, right? Because there's nothing worse than you're in a line and that other line's moving and yours is not. And if you can hear out the window, you realize it's because what is he talking about, right? He's having a conversation. So I waited after I placed my order to let him pull in front of me. And not because I was trying to eavesdrop, but I did. And he goes up to the window to pay. And what does he do? enters a conversation again, right? And so, again, the person helping him is trying to be very patient and all, but all the people in front of him are gone. And all the people behind him wish he would be gone, right? So, they're frustrated. So he finally moves to the next line. He gets his order. What does he do? Sure. He enters into a conversation again because he's trying to find something. He's looking for something and just, watching him, I can understand that. And it's difficult sometimes to be patient with that. But it illustrates the need that we have for relationship. In fact, I will tell you this. I believe that peace is relational. It's one of the reasons we don't find it, because we misunderstand how relational peace is in our lives. You cannot find peace with things. You find peace in relationship. In fact, if you're married and your relationship with your spouse is not good, you don't have peace. And you have to find somehow, forgiveness and the ability to communicate again and get past your differences. Same way at work, it's relational. Same way in the McDonald's line, it's relational. And sometimes we miss it, and sometimes we just get hung up on the wrong things, and we miss the relational aspect of peace. Second story, behind a guy in a truck. It was an older guy, and so he's doing at the same thing in the line, and if you've done this before, he's in the single line before it divides, and he's watching to see which one's going to be the fastest. So there's a gap between him and both of those lines because he's trying to figure out which one's moving quicker, which one can I go to. There's a girl right in front of me in a small car behind his truck, and she realizes what he's doing, and she's frustrated, so she goes around him. And she pulls into the outside lane and cuts in right behind the car that's ordering. And when he realizes that she's cutting in front of him, he tries to push up and so that she can't do that. And he sits down on the horn. And he sits down on the horn. And he sits down on the horn. I mean, he will not let go of the horn. And, I'm thinking, have you ever done this? Thinking, oh, man, I want to get out of the car and go say, sir, but what are you trying? But I didn't do it. I know better than that. But he's just sitting down on the horn. And it's embarrassing, just, he just won't let go of the horn. And then all of a sudden, the other line moves, and it's the faster line. Then he moves over, and he goes through, right? And it's just embarrassing sometimes of what we're looking for, what we think will, satisfy us or really bring us peace. And then we do just some ridiculous things, some embarrassing things, and it causes us to realize, what was I thinking? Did that really matter? Did that really count? Now, I share those stories because you could probably share some stories in your own life where you have done the same thing, right? Where you've gotten focused on the wrong thing and you've missed where peace will really come from in your life and the kind of peace in your life that will get you over circumstances and difficulties and cause you to be able to go through those things and to find what you're looking for and really to pass on to your kids. The same thing, I think, especially with your kids, because your kids will learn from you and your relationships. They will learn from, their teachers, their coaches. How do you handle relationships? What matters? What doesn't matter? Where am I going to find peace in life? And what are the things that if I get them out of whack, I get them out of balance, I won't find peace at all in life. I call these, I'm going to give you what I call the Real 8. And so I just call them that because I think that, first of all, if you want to fill in number one, because peace is relational, right? It's relational. It always is, and it always has been. Let me set it up by doing this before I go to number two. Here's what, in John chapter 14, these verses are not in your outline, but this is what he says. These are some verses that we really like. This is John 14, just a couple of verses before where it starts here. It says, Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I what? Do. Yeah, I know you're saying, I'm not reading that. I know, but you know what he's going to say. So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And a lot of people say, okay, well, so what does that mean? So I can say, I want a new car. Or the guy in the line could say, I want her out of the line, right? And he will do it. And that's not at all what he's talking about. He's talking about a relationship between us and him. And Christ has become the relationship between us and the Father. He's brought that relationship to be alive and well. And he's not just talking about so that you can have everything that you want, or that everything in life will go your way. He's talking about so that you will understand, so that you will know what's important in life, what matters in life, what's worth, you know, being concerned about, focusing on, and the things that you should say, you know what, why am I letting that, you know, be my focus? Or why am I letting that get to me? So in this next verse, I'm going to jump to 1 John. I know I told you John 14, but here's number two. You cannot have peace. This is what we're going to find in these verses. Not only is it relational, but you cannot have peace if you don't have confidence in the relationship. That's just a reality. If you're not confident of your relationships, if you don't have relationships in your life that you say, I can count on this relationship. This relationship will be here. I can trust this person. You're not going to have peace in life. No thing in life will compensate for that. So here's what John, same guy that wrote John 14, here's what he says later in his epistle, 1 John. He says in verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 13, these things I have written to you. Catch this. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. That's all about relationship. He says, so that you may know. That's confidence. So that you may know that you have eternal life. It's the same thing he's talking about, or Jesus was talking about in John. Eternal life for him is not, it doesn't mean just mean that you're going to live forever. It's talking about a certain confidence in that life, a quality of that life, that life is stable, it will last, it will not change, it will not move on you, and you can count on that life. And that's why Jesus said, I've come, you know, that you might have life, and you can have a life that you can hold on to and trust. In verse 14, 1 John 5, he says, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask, here he goes again, that if we ask anything according to his will, right? Because he's bringing in relationship into this. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him, right? Because it's all about this relationship that he brings us into, this conversation that we have, this trust that we have in him. He leads us, he guides us, we're able to communicate with him, and we are able to have this confidence that he hears and that he answers our prayers. Here's number three. What we do reveals what we trust and love. And number four, if you want to fill in the blank here, what we do, three, it reveals who we trust. I'm sorry, not what, who we trust and love. And number four, God doesn't plan for peace or relationship to ever end. That's just not his plan. The relationship that he has with us was designed to last. So let me jump into the passage. This is John 14, beginning with verse number 15. Jesus says this, if you love me, say this part with me, if you love me, what? This is not a condition to love him. This is saying, listen, if you love me, then the natural thing in the relationship would be that you would obey my commands, that you would do the things that I ask you to do. In verse 16, and he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will, oh, don't you love this? Who will do what? He will never leave you. Yeah, I'll give you another relationship, another one in your life, just like me, who will never leave you. And in verse 17, he says, he is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him. Let me say that again. He's talking about the world around us outside of God, and he's describing the problem with the world around us outside of God. It's not looking for him, and the world around us does not recognize him. It doesn't invite him to be a part of how it functions, a part of its life. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Verse 18, no, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. Where I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each one of them. So here's the promise that he makes, that the Father gives us the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of confidence, using a different word than you might hear. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of confidence. He is the Spirit of life. And that is because God is trying to bring a peace between us and him, a confidence that God is with us, that he has not abandoned us because of what Christ has done for us, not because of what we have done for him. And he is bringing life into this relationship between us and him. I was listening to a Jewish man, not a Christian, but he was a Jewish man. And it was interesting because this is what he said. He said, whenever someone prays, whenever people pray and they pray privately, he says, here's what you will always understand. He says, those people have a relationship with God. He's setting it apart from public prayer. Now, prayer is not just something that you gather in a group and someone had a prayer, or you're at a ball game and someone had a prayer. Well, maybe not, but you know, or you're somewhere and someone had a public prayer. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying there's relationship when someone prays privately. That's why they pray. That's what he was saying. That's why they pray. That's why they go away by themselves. That's why Daniel, Old Testament, why Daniel withdrew to an upper room that faced Jerusalem. And Daniel would pray to God, no one else around, no one else looking. Why? Because there was a relationship there. And he would talk to God, he would listen to God, and he was building that relationship because Daniel believed also this was eternal. This would last forever. And this was life. This is where he got his confidence from. This is where he drew his peace from in this relationship. Isn't that true of us, if you have that relationship? Don't you have that relationship because you realize that God has accepted you and drawn you to himself through Christ, that he wants to know you, he wants to hear from you, he wants to speak into your life and to guide you and to lead you? That's all part of relationship. But there's a private part of that. And Jesus said, you know, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, he points to and he chastises, not that there's anything wrong with public prayer, but he chastises the religious leaders for only praying in public and for walking around and having long prayers in the streets, walking around so that people could see them praying. And what he was saying is, you don't want to be that way. He says, when you pray, go away to a quiet place, a place where no one else sees. And he says this, which is incredible, isn't it? And pray to God, and the God who hears in private and sees you and listens in private, he will be with you. He will become your peace and your strength because he listens and he's there in those places. And that's the core of a relationship. I say this because even with your kids, you know what you want to do with your kids? You want to teach them to pray. You want to teach them a relationship with God. And that relationship is not just here. Listen, we gather together, we sing, we talk about God, we pray. All of that is designed to be a help and to be a strength and to be a motivation. But it's not supposed to be the all in all. Privately, personally, there is this relationship that Jesus Christ has come to build and to develop inside of us. And I know that you may feel like, well, but I don't feel him, I don't see him. But see, he has given you, if you believe, he has given you his Spirit so that when you pray, God's Spirit will convict you of truth. He will give you a confidence inside. He really brings about a life in this relationship because he is not only God's promise to you, he is God's guarantee to you that he's given you his Spirit, and his Spirit is the guarantee that you will have life, that life will not, cannot be taken away from you. In fact, in the Bible, I don't know if you realize this, there's only one proof that a person belongs to God. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what Jesus promises to give as a proof. He also calls the Holy Spirit a down payment on us. This word for advocate here, this is like a family counselor who also is an expert in the law who comes around to help guide you through life. It literally means one who is called alongside. And the Holy Spirit becomes someone who is called alongside to draw you to the relationship, to build the relationship, to lead you in the relationship, to keep you in life on a path where you are confident that God has not deserted you, that God is with you, that God is walking with you. And that is all the evidence of that is it brings a sense of comfort, a sense of peace inside that God has not abandoned me. Not because all the circumstances work your way. Not because you get everything that you want, but because you know you have him to go to no matter what you're going through, and that he takes you through those things. He doesn't abandon you. He doesn't forget about you. Here's one other little sidetrack. I'm into sidetrack mode here this as we're finishing up because there's so many verses that for me to get in, and I can't get them all in. But here's what Paul writes in Philippians. You probably know these verses. He says, don't worry or don't have anxiety about what? Anything. Say that again with me. Don't worry about anything. What do you mean don't worry? Don't let any worry, anything out there overcome you and rob you of your peace and your confidence and the certainty of who God is. He said, instead, pray about what? Everything. I love that. Well, wait a minute. I don't worry about all things, but there are some, don't worry about anything. Well, I understand. Don't worry about anything. But instead, what is he talking about? He's talking about going to God with everything that you go through. Why wouldn't you do that? Because God is the one who understands what you're going through, what you will go through, and can lead you through that. He goes on to say, tell God what you need. Thank him for all he has done. Those are part of the relationship. Then you will experience God's, say it with me, God's what? His peace. You'll experience that. When it says God's peace, that means a peace that could only come from God in your life. You can't find it any other way. You can't attain it any other way. It only could come from God, which exceeds everything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I love this verse because he talks about the two things that we struggle with the most. We struggle with here, the emotional side of it, right? The heart. But what about what I feel? It's okay. You go to him, you take your concerns, your needs, your worries, your struggles that have a temptation to draw you into them, and they become the thing in life, the most important thing in life. Rather than letting that happen, go to the one who is the most important thing in life and talk to him about those things. And God comes in and he invades those things and the emotions and the feelings that tend to tear you away, that tend to tear you up on the inside. He deals with those things. He eases those things. There's a confidence that overcomes those things. And he says, and what you think about in your mind. What do you think about? I don't know if you've ever seen it before, but Bob Newhart has a, I almost played it, but it's long, and I would go too long, and then you'd get mad. So Bob Newhart has this little skit that he did where he's a counselor. Anybody ever seen this before? And a lady comes to him. Oh, it's one of the, you got to look it up on YouTube. It's one of the funniest things. Look up Bob Newhart and Stop It. I'm giving away the punchline. So he's counseling this lady, and she comes in, and she says, I have this overwhelming fear that I can't get over, and I've come to you as a counselor. He says, well, I have certain rules. I only charge $5. She's like, okay. And he says, and I usually am finished in 5 minutes, and he only takes cash. And so she's like, okay. And he says, okay, so shoot, you know, tell me. And she says, I have this fear that I'm going to be locked in a box, and I can't get out. And he says, okay, so here's my, are you ready? She says, yeah, do I need to write this down? He says, no, it's only two words. So you probably don't need to write it down. Most people can remember two words. And she said, okay, what is it? Stop it. Stop it. And she says, but I, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, you know. And he keeps, and she gets frustrated. She gets angry, you know, because that can't be it. I can't stop it. And my mind keeps going there. He says, stop it. Don't let your mind go there. Listen, you know how you want to stop your mind from going into the wrong place? Go somewhere else with it. It's the only way you can do it. You have to replace it with something else. If your mind goes after some fear and it just overwhelms you and it tends to drive away your peace, or there's some anxiety, Jesus never talked about ignoring the issues of life. Never. He just said, when those things overwhelm you, you need to come to me. You need to come to a relationship to the Father, because he overcomes those things. He's bigger than those things. He's stronger than those things. None of those things overcome him. He overcomes those things. Doesn't mean he fixes everything right away, but it does mean he leads you through those things. And he prevents those things from overwhelming your emotions and your thinking and your mind and just consuming you and consuming you and consuming you. Oh, incidentally, in Bob Newhart, in his little skit, she said, I just can't do it. He said, stop it or I'll lock you in a box. That's what he did at the end. So I don't know if that worked, but that was the end of his skit. It's pretty funny. Things overwhelm you? Sure they do. The things in life, especially when it comes to kids, right? Ooh, man. You worry about so many things. What do you do? So you can just churn on those things and chew on those things and just, and the old saying, the old movie where there was an old timer that one time said, don't chew on the things that are eating you, right? And you can do that. You can just chew on them forever. And what happens is you give life to those things. But instead, go to the one who gives life. Go to the one who is the author of life. I know you think about it. I just don't see how that's going to, I understand. That's one of the reasons I love this verse. And the peace that God gives that overcomes all of our understanding. I don't understand it, but there's something about going to him and taking these things to him where his peace, his confidence overcomes and it overwhelms those things. It doesn't mean we ignore problems. Doesn't mean we don't ignore issues or we're not dealing with them. It just means he gives us the strength to do those things. A couple of chapters later, I think it's in John 16, Jesus is talking about what's about to happen to him. And it's going to be bad. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be painful. And in Jesus, as he's talking about those things, but he's like, but I will get through them. I have the strength and the peace to get through them. And then he says this, it's the last verse in chapter 16 of John. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. You'll have difficulties, right? He says, but take courage. I have overcome the world. He's talking about I've overcome the things that you will come up against. And he is about to. He's about to go to the cross and overcome all of those things. So here we go. This is, let me finish up John 14, verse 22. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? And Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. He's talking about the relationship. Verse 24, anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I tell you is from the Father who sent me. I'm telling you these things now while I'm still here with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I'm leaving you with a gift. What a wonderful gift. Listen to this. Wouldn't this be a great gift? Peace of mind and heart. I'm leaving you with this wonderful gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really loved me, you would be happy that I'm going to the Father, who is greater than I am. I've told you these things before they happen, so that when they happen, you will believe. So he's giving them something, talking about something that's going to happen in the future so that they'll understand that he knew this. Verse 30, I don't have much more time to talk to you because the ruler of this world approaches. He has no power over me, but I will do what the Father requires of me so that the world will know that I love the Father. Come on, let's get going. So three more things real quickly that for me I pull out of these. First of all, the peace, this peace that he's talking about is a gift. And it's a gift that you cannot find in the world, that the world cannot match this gift. And that is the problem for all human beings in life, is we have a tendency to look around in the world and try to find this peace that can only come from the Father. It can only come from Jesus Christ. It can only be received as a gift. You can't earn it. You can't discover it. You can't make it happen. You can look for all kinds of ways to find peace in your life, but there is a peace that can only come from Him. Number seven, don't be troubled or fearful because of the lack of the peace that is in this world. And that's what he's talking about. There is not peace in this world. There will not be peace in this world until, he resolves it. And that day is not here yet. But you can have peace in this world. And so he is saying, listen, it's expected. It should be expected that there are troubles and difficulties. And tomorrow, as he says, we'll have new troubles and difficulties. He said, so, deal with the ones today because there's plenty ahead to go around. But the peace that we're looking for is going to be found in him. And number eight, how do I do that? How am I going to find that peace? It's clear. Overcome it by running to Jesus, by finding a relationship with Christ that will take you through these things. Or how I would say it is, replace fear in your life, replace anxiety in your life with faith in your life by running to Him. This relationship, that's what faith is. Build this relationship with Him. Seems like a small thing. Seems like, why am I wasting, 20 or 30 minutes in the morning to hide away, read from the scripture, talk to God, let God talk to me? Why would Daniel, three times a day go away? It seems small. It seems like a waste of time. There's other things that I could do. It's not a waste of time at all, because it's in those times that you find this relationship and this connection. It's in those times that you find this strength and this resource of peace in your life. Let me summarize real quick this morning what we've been talking about this will be 8 weeks, and there were sort of five things. This was one of them, about what your kids need and what you need to hand down to your kids. But the first thing we talked about was finding a true identity in their life, who they are. And we remember, if you remember, we went back even all the way to Moses and some people in the Old Testament who, had to figure out, had to understand who they really were. And it's incredibly beneficial for them to understand that. It is like a tiny seed that's planted, that this is who you are. I would tell you this, people are created by God. God has made all of us, and He made us all because He loves us and because He wants to know us. But without discovering who you are and without going to Him, you don't find the benefits of that relationship. You kind of live the rest of your life as someone who is lost and has no place to go, sort of like a prodigal who is chased after things that will not satisfy. And until you come back home, you won't find what you're looking for. The second thing we talked about is in getting satisfaction for you and for your kids, it's a matter of understanding what to love the most. How can I weigh out your loves? Because there are a lot of things that we love, but what do you love the most? What should you love the most? What should you hold on to the most? And Jesus talked a lot about that and the relationship that we have to God. And then a couple weeks ago, we talked about what real freedom is. Because your kids will struggle with that. Does freedom mean I can do anything that I want? Well, not if it ends up putting you in bondage and getting you trapped. Freedom means being able to become the person that you were meant to be. And that's exactly what Christ came to do, so that you could be the person that you were created to be. Not that so you could be whatever you dreamed up or whatever you wanted yourself to become. I mean, for most of us, we recognize that's a fantasy out there. The reality is, God has given His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we could become His sons and His daughters, the people that He created us to be. And then finally, last week we talked about there's a new measure for freedom that Jesus gives to us as those who know Him and follow Him, and that measure is forgiveness. And what a power that you have in forgiving someone else, in being forgiven. It gives you the power. It kind of loads up your bank account so that you can forgive someone else. Even the person who cuts in front of you at McDonald's in the line, right? You can say, you know what? Not going to let that ruin my life. Not after what Jesus himself has done. Not after what Christ has done for me. We're going to pray together. And then we have one more song. I want you to listen to these words because this is a pretty new song that's out there. I love the words of this song. So let's pray together before we listen to it. Heavenly Father, thank you that it really is in some small things that you lead us to real life, just like a small seed being planted in our lives to know who we really are, know who created us, to know who gave us life. It keeps us from chasing after all sorts of ideas about who we could be that really have no foundation, no basis in the reality of who you are, the reality of the truth. And God, we thank you that satisfaction really does come from knowing you and knowing the things that are important and the things that are less important, the things that matter more, the things that matter most in life. And Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus into this world so that we could be free. We would not be bound up by fear. We would not be overcome by our worries and our anxieties and even the things that other people do to hurt us or events that happen in life that so disappoint us because of what you've done and who you are. You've given us a new power to forgive, to let go, to move past those things. As Jesus said, to find the one who overcomes and allow him to overcome those things, even in our lives. If you're here this morning, you've never put your hope and your trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've done that before. Maybe you're here and you've done that, and you've just never built a relationship. And you're struggling because all the things that we just talked about are not a reality, and it's because you've not been pursuing that relationship and allowing that relationship with Christ, with Jesus, to become the strength of who you are. The good news is Jesus Christ is still here. He's still alive. He still wants you. He still wants to know you. And he still wants to give you this incredible gift of peace that only he could give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.